Mets. Todd's life has been championships, and Mike's have been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball.
Episode 12 of Apples and Pinstripes. Did I say that quiet enough for you?
That was good.
Okay, whoa. Listen to your voice. You got a cold?
No. I just had my head tilted down and that's how it came out.
You should do that more often. I thought I was hosting with Barry White. Anyway, welcome to episode 12 of Apples and Pinstripes. I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. And this is a special episode. We're dropping earlier than normal. I was lucky enough. This is kind of a Yankee-centric episode, I guess we could say. We'll try to talk about some Mets stuff here before. But I was lucky enough to get Brian Hoke, who is the beat writer for the Yankees through MLB.com. But he's with the team basically 24-7, and his family as well. He brought his wife and kids to spring training with him. And I guess he does this every year. They're 1-3 as kids, so for the last couple of years. And they spend the entire time down there with him during spring training. I think that's fascinating. I'm like, so like they rented a place. He has a place. He stays with the kids and his wife, and he goes to work. He comes home instead of being away from them for weeks and weeks. He brings them with him. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is.
I've always wondered, like, the beat, all these, there's a lot of beat writers.
There is. Team,
especially, especially in New York City, you know, the Mets and Yankees. I don't even know how many beat writers, I guess, for every publication and
really is.
Broadcast place, there's somebody's assigned to the Mets or Yankees. And,
yep.
You know, they got to follow the team around for, they you know, and 8 months out of the year.
Yeah, it's all he's got. I think that's why he's enjoying doing this with his family during spring training. It can't be easy for them, but it's memories that he said his 3-year-old is like a huge starting to turn into a baseball fan and understand what dad does and stuff. So I don't know. I think it's great memories for him, especially that he'll always remember bringing his family along with him. But the kids too will remember meeting the ball players. They're on the field. I mean, he's constantly on the field. If you've seen his content, and I'm sure you have, because he's on MLB Network and stuff like that all the time, he's really good at what he does. And his content on Instagram and stuff is spectacular. So it was really cool of him to take some time. He told me he had 10 minutes, and we ended up talking for almost 20. So that says something right there, that he took the time to talk with me, who is nobody. And, you know, he's 20 minutes from covering a Yankee game, and he took time to do this for us. So I really appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. And it was a good talk for 20 minutes. So I hope everyone enjoys that. It'll be coming up. One thing we haven't talked about yet here on episode 13 is our hats before we get going with the interview. Why don't you
Wait a
start
minute.
This? What?
You started out saying this was episode 12. Now you just said it's
did
episode
I?
13.
Oh, it's 12. Yeah, it's 12. Did I say 13? Really?
You did. You just now you did, yeah.
It's two episodes in one. No. It's episode 12. Don't listen to me. I'm going to have to listen back because I don't recall saying that, but I guess I did if you heard me.
Well, because when you opened the show and you said episode 12, I was like, oh, wow, it's episode 12.
It is.
And then just now you said it's 13. I was like, oh, wow, it's episode 13.
They go so fast. Like I said, it's
they
a
grow
two
up
for one.
So fast.
They grow up so fast, these episodes. No, it's episode 12. So hats. I'm going to, as I just said, I'm going to let you start this week because you have on your head, as I can see through Skype right now, your dream hat. And welcome to the club hat of Mike's. Go on. Tell us what you're wearing.
I am wearing very happily a 39-30 version of the Syracuse Mets home cap, which I found this past weekend at Syracuse Mets open house. At NBT Bank Stadium here in Syracuse.
Yeah.
I went with my son, and we did the whole open house thing, and then we went into the store, and just as we go in, I see on the rack, I saw the Syracuse Mets home hat.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've seen 1,000 times. I have the 5950. Right. But I saw the little 3930 sticker on the bill.
Oh, boy.
And so I hope I didn't make a scene. But I definitely had a reaction. Oh, this is the 3930.
Tears come streaming down your cheeks as you put the hat. You cradle it in your arms at first.
And welcome. I got to tell you, because I went to open house wearing the 5950.
Right.
And when I took off that 5950 in the store and put on the 3930, it was like putting a shiny cloud on my head. Like, it was just, oh my God, it felt so good. And I may never take this hat off.
Yeah, he's been sleeping in it, showering in it.
It is so much more comfortable than the 5950. I can't even tell you. And I think it fits my head better. I don't look like I have a box on my head.
If you could see his face right now, he's like giddy with excitement that this hat is part of his family now. You brought it home and showed your wife, and she couldn't tell the difference between the 5950 and the 3930, right?
She thought I looked like I was wearing the hat I left with, but not, I showed her.
To the untrained eye, it's the same hat.
Exactly. So I took off the 3930, put on a 5950, and I kept, and she's like, wait, do it again.
Abraham Lincoln, baseball player. Right. Abraham Lincoln, baseball player.
It looked to me that the look on her face at first read, what an idiot.
Yeah, crazy.
But then there was a recognition of the fact that I was right, and it does look, the new one does look better.
That's what you think. She probably was like, yes. Yeah, Mike, right. Yeah, it looks so great.
Good job.
It's the same hat. You want to describe the hat I'm wearing?
Todd is wearing the same hat he's worn for the past 2 episodes. The Yankee BP cap for 2020. Low profile.
Low profile, 5950.
Size 7 1/8, right?
7 1. Look at you. Let me see if I can remember your hat size, because I doubt I can. Is it 7 1/4? No. 7 3/8? No. 7 5/8? You're getting into Bruce Bochy territory here. What's your hat size?
7 1/2.
Oh, 7 1/2. I knew that. Yeah. Yeah, I got a small.
It's interesting. 39. Well, it's interesting to me. It's probably not interesting to anyone else. But 3930, I used to get medium large. This one I got large, extra large. So I don't know if my head is getting fatter, I need a bigger hat, or if they made it a little smaller.
Haircut. Maybe you get more hair?
Out of haircuts. Ooh, no, just got one.
Oh, well, so, maybe they just made them smaller. I don't know.
Maybe.
It looks good. You look very happy. I'm happy for you. Yeah. We're both very happy with our hats right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough of that. Oh, no. I want to ask you more about the open house that you went to.
Sure.
The Syracuse Mets open. What do they do there? What's it like? I've been to it. I'm trying to think of what year it was. It's still the Syracuse Chiefs, so it was at least 2 years ago when I went. It may have been 3 years ago that we went. Is it the same? I mean, what did you do there?
Well, they have pretty much the entire facility is open to everyone. You go in there and you can go check out the locker room. They have tours, first of all, where they will take you on a tour throughout the entire place.
Yep.
Excuse me, which goes, you know, they take you into the locker room. But even if you're not part of the tour, you can go those places also. You just won't get any kind of, you know, information given by the person given the tour. But we went into the locker room. You go into the weight room, you can go to where the batting cages are, and you can actually take BP in the batting cage.
I did that.
Did you?
Hell yeah. So did my kids, but I did too.
can go like into like their office area somewhat. I don't know if you can go deep in there, but
yeah, they're not letting you in Jason Sorrell's office, I don't think.
And then they had like tryouts for singing the national anthem. They had tryouts for Scooch, mascot.
Tryouts to be Scooch?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And then we went up to the concourse, and you could check out, like, for people who don't know, the stadium's going over like major renovations right now that should be done before the season starts next month. So they took out all the seats, well, not all of the seats, but most of them, and they replaced them with larger seats.
Oh, nice.
So the capacity is going to go down a little bit, but they're going to be more comfortable seats. The entire outfield wall is down because they are moving the walls to match Citi Field's dimensions.
Oh, because
and also because the bullpens currently are on the field, kind of like Wrigley Field,
right?
And they are putting those behind the outfield walls now.
Right, they're running out of time. So they better get moving on that stuff.
They're putting new lighting in. Like, there's a lot going on there. It's pretty crazy.
Well, at least the weather's nice. Course, they can get that done.
And of course, we went into the store, and they also had a fan forum where they announced all of the promotional dates that will be happening this year. So that was
there's
cool.
Some cool stuff. They do a great job. The past few years, things have gotten better and better there, it seems like. The past ownership, I don't know. It seemed like it was going in the opposite direction, but whatever's happening there now, I don't know if it's the Mets' involvement or just they have good people there now, but things are changing, and they got crowds last year. Maybe it's just because it's something new, but they keep putting out good products. People are going to show up and check out the games, and it makes me sad when people don't go watch the games there because it's basically Major League Baseball right in your backyard, and your phone's ringing.
It's
Jason Small.
It was pretty crazy last year because I have been to previous open houses there when they were the Syracuse Chiefs, and there were not many people there. Last year was the first year that they were now the Syracuse Mets. It was going into their inaugural season, and I think everyone was shocked by how many people showed up last year for open house. The first one is the Syracuse Mets. I know I was shocked because I went there. I was expecting a handful of people. It was hard to walk in that place at times.
So was it crowded like that this year too?
Yeah, it was pretty crowded. There were a lot of people. I mean, it goes from 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. So there's plenty of time for people to get there and do things.
And see everything. Right?
Yeah. And so it wasn't like, you know, ridiculously packed, but there was a good amount of people.
That's cool. I mean, I know I get the emails. I don't know if you get the emails from the front office and stuff. They said they were expecting a big crowd, so make sure to get there early and all this stuff. So that's good to hear that a lot of people showed up. It's a lot of fun going to check out the Syracuse Mets. Did you get to see any of the players or anything? Were any of the players there?
No, they're all still down.
Oh, they're
in
spring training. What am I saying? Right, of course.
What are you saying? God,
maybe they could bring Tim Tebow up. It's not like he's going anywhere, right? Is he going to be a Met this year?
He's going to be a Syracuse Met.
Right, so we should have been in Syracuse.
They're like kind of busy right now.
Bats aren't going to change that much with him, are they? Wouldn't that be great if he had a breakout year and ended up making the Mets? Or say all the Mets outfielders got hurt and they had to call him up. That wouldn't be good for
Let's
you.
Let's not do that, please.
No, that's the Yankees right now with the whole outfield injured and on who knows when they're coming back. And well, speaking of that, you'll hear all about that and more with Brian Hoke and that interview coming up here in just a couple minutes. What were you going to say?
No, I'm good. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought
Didn't
you wanted
mean to
say
interrupt
something.
You.
Oh, that's okay.
I was just going to say, maybe the Yankees should trade for Tim Tebow.
No. It's okay. That's okay. It's nice to have him in Syracuse. It is kind of cool to go see him play. You think about it. I mean, the guy's a Heisman Trophy winner. He was a great college football player, brought the Denver Broncos close to the Super Bowl in the NFL. I mean, he's a very well-known athlete. So to see him trying to play baseball, it's kind of fun. And he had a rough year last year, and they're going to give him another shot. I can't imagine that shot is going to go beyond this year, though, if he doesn't start doing something, right? I mean, how long can he go?
Yeah, even when I was watching the spring training game earlier this year, Gary Cohen, the Mets, you know, announcer, was saying, this probably has to be the last year. You know, you can't. But you got to say this about Tebow. He is not giving up. Like, he is just going to keep fighting.
Well, that's, you know, I think that's his personality.
You got to admire that.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great guy, and I love what he stands for and all that. And it's cool to see him trying. And maybe something will happen this year, but we'll have to wait and see. But it's definitely cool to go check him out in Syracuse. He puts people in the seats there. Even though he had the worst numbers of any AAA player in with over 100 at-bats or something like that last year. He was, like, dead last in all offensive stats. Nothing against
and
that.
I gotta say, too, because I went to a bunch of Syracuse Mets games last year, and fans are, like, brutal to him sometimes. Like, people are like, oh, you're hitting I could hit 126 in AAA. No, sir, you could not.
Right. No. This is a guy that hasn't played baseball since high school or whatever. So to see him do what he does, it's pretty amazing. But he's a football player on a baseball field.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to see. Anyway, go check out the Syracuse Mets this year. You're going to go to a bunch more games this year, I imagine. So.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's going to be good. Hopefully the weather cooperates all spring. I hope opening day is warmer than last year. Remember how cold it was last year?
It's a lot later this year. So it's April 17th is opening day. So
what's it last year?
I think I'm pretty sure it was like April 4th or something like that. Yeah, it was pretty early in April.
Yeah, so hopefully
those 2 weeks make a big deal in upstate New York.
Definitely. But here today it's 70 degrees outside. It's beautiful outside. It's gorgeous.
And last weekend it was like 20.
Right. Just several days. Yesterday was under, well, this morning it was 29 degrees when I went to work. Yeah. So it's.
Well, you go to work.
It's middle of the night. Yeah, but still. All right. Well, stay tuned. Hey, Brian Hoke, by the way, was a Mets fan. He started covering the Mets. He was a beat writer for the Mets. Did you know that? For a very short time.
I did not know that.
And then his grandfather was a Met fan, and now he's working professionally, so his life revolves around the Yankees, and he does not care about the Mets anymore.
Wow. That's interesting, too. Like, and I wonder, I think we spoke about this before, like, when you're a baseball player, of course all of these players had favorite teams growing up. Yeah. And then, you know, like, David Wright ended up playing for, he grew up a Mets fan because he grew up in Norfolk, Virginia, where their, you know, minor league team was.
Oh, right.
And then he ended up playing for the Mets.
That's pretty cool.
That's very rare.
Jared
and I just
Jeter.
Wonder, like, and, but it's funny because Brad Brock for the Mets, he just signed with the Mets last year, or he was acquired by the Mets last year. And he grew up a huge Mets fan, and like they were talking to him, and he was even talking about how, I can't believe I'm in Port St. Lucie right now with spring training with the Mets. Like, and then like they had some of the 2000 team guys down there. Like they had Glendon Rush and Mike Hampton and Todd Zeal and Mike Piazza. And he was like fanboying over these guys. So like, it's interesting to see, like, because I always think about, like, man, who did these guys root for when they were growing up? And now you might be playing. Like, didn't the Yankees draft a kid who was a Red Sox fan? And, like, they found tweets of him saying how much he hates the Yankees? Or is it the other way around? He was a Yankee fan, and he got drafted by the Red Sox. They found tweets of him saying how the Red Sox suck. And, and he had to, like, backtrack on that. Like, look, I was a kid and I was a fan.
You shouldn't have to backtrack on that. That's ridiculous. But, yeah, I vaguely remember that. But I'm sure that happens a lot because you don't get to pick who you play for most of the time until free agency.
Right.
So to see, like, Derek Jeter grew up a Yankee fan and always dreaming of playing shortstop for the Yankees, and that turned out to be the truth. That doesn't happen. Stuff like that. It just doesn't happen. So it is cool when that does happen and kids play for their favorite teams as when they were kids. But anyway, well, we hope you enjoy the Brian Hoke interview. It's coming along next, and we'll come back after that and wrap it up. It's episode 12.5. of apples and pinstripes. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to episode 12 of Apples and Pinstripes. My name is Todd Emanuele. Of course, Apples and Pinstripes, we're a Yankee and Met podcast. The Apples, the Mets, the Pinstripes, the Yankees. The Apples part is not here, my co-host Mike, so we're talking Pinstripes right now. And I have a very special guest joining me on the phone. He is a beat writer for the Yankees and for MLB.com since 2007, an accomplished author, writing the books The Baby Bombers and Mission 27. His name is Brian Hoke. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
You got it. Happy to be on with you.
And yeah, we appreciate your time. I know we got a game coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. The big story so far this spring is injuries again. You know, we thought last year with all the injuries that went on with this team that it couldn't possibly happen again. But here we are, and it's happening again, maybe even worse.
Yeah, I would have bet every dollar in my wallet that 2019 was kind of a special year where they overcame so much, but that would definitely not repeat itself here in 2020, and I would have been wrong. you look at an opening day lineup here where you're not going to have Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Luis Severino is out for the year, James Paxton is down for a couple months, Aaron Hicks isn't coming back until probably the middle of the summer. So, a lot of it seems to be a hangover effect from 2019 and that some of these injuries occurred last season and either went undiagnosed or misdiagnosed until now. But, it's frustrating for Yankee fans for sure and for the Yankees. These are big names, bold-faced names that they are counting on to get to their goal of winning a World Series in 2020, and to know you're not going to have a bunch of them, at least in the beginning, is definitely creating some new challenges, some unwanted challenges for Brian Cashman and for Aaron Boone here in the early going.
So what's the deal with Gary Sanchez? Now, I know you didn't mention his name there, but obviously he's been out the last couple days. Word coming out today that he's probably out until Friday now. Is this something to be concerned about, or is it just precautionary because it's spring training?
I think considering the Yankees' recent track record, there are all things to be concerned about. However, in this case, they do believe that Sanchez will be able to get behind the plate on Friday. That's the plan right now. If this were the regular season, Aaron Boone says that Sanchez would be catching. So that's encouraging, but I think right now it's more of a logistic thing. Boone's idea initially was to have Gary catch the Tuesday game, but the team's going across the to the east coast of Florida on Wednesday and Thursday, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to ramp him up just to get him back in one game and then have him sit for two. So he's going to stay back at the Yankees complex. He'll catch some side sessions. They talked about having him catch Adam Ottavino, maybe a couple other pitchers, so he'll be doing baseball activity. So I'm not as concerned about Sanchez as maybe some others are, but you know, as Joe Girardi always used to say, backs are tricky, and so even though they do believe that this is going to be minor in the grand scheme of things, it certainly bears watching to see what's going on here.
Yeah, you know, and that's promising to hear that it really probably isn't that big of a deal. My guess is for the Yankees, you know, just get healthy by October, right? I mean, it's almost like they could go on cruise control until then and be a playoff team. I mean, there's the backups or starters on other teams. So this team is loaded. They can get through this, but it's crazy that we have to deal with this again.
Yeah, some of them are. Some of these guys could definitely start for other teams. And, you know, you go around the opening day outfield, it projects you're going to have Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar possibly, Mike Kaufman, Brett Gardner will be in center field. So yeah, a lot of those guys could go play for other teams and be counted on as regulars. Here, they're depth options. And so I think that it's not going to be a cakewalk. I think the American League East is tough. I really like the way Tampa Bay looks. I think that, you know, everybody's counting out Boston. I think they're still going to get up to play the Yankees tough at times. And Toronto, I think, is they're young and hungry, and that's a dangerous team, too. I think that, you know, there's probably only one pushover in the division, and that's Baltimore, who the Yankees are going to open up against on March 26th. But I think that the faster they can get their big guns back, you can have Judge and Stanton in the lineup regularly. We still haven't really seen it for an extended period of time to have both those guys in the lineup and going. So it's certainly not as much as the Yankees thought they were going to. So you get those big guys back, and you can start filling in the blanks here. The sooner they can do that, the better.
Yeah, and you know, you said we really haven't seen that with Judge and Stanton in the lineup. I mean, we really haven't since he's come over. They haven't played together barely at all. It's insane.
Right.
Now, you mentioned...
Not what they were counting on when they made that big trade, because right. Judge was coming off hitting 52 homers as the rookie of the year, and Stanton hit 59 to lead the majors, and you look at those two guys, and you said, oh my gosh, they're going to hit 120 between the two of them, and we haven't seen that yet, so they got to be on the field to do it, and they're trying to get back on the field.
Yeah, speaking of being on the field, Aaron Judge, obviously with the rib issue, if he has this surgery that they're saying could be down the road type of thing, do you have any idea how long he'll actually be out? We've heard people say, oh, it'll be extensive, but will it be months? Will it just be, you know, a short time, a month or so, or could it be the whole season?
I think you'd be looking, that is the worst case scenario, because you'd probably be looking at 3 to 4 months for Judge if they have to actually go in and take this rib out. So, and I spoke to a physician who said that it's almost unheard of to do that. Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of money riding on Aaron Judge, and the timing is an issue here. But I think that if you or I had that injury, what our doctor would tell us is go home, rest, don't do much, don't pick up anything, you know, just work on your breathing, make sure that you give it the time to heal, drink milk, all the basic things that you would think. But the difference is you've got a high-performance athlete here who's up against the clock, and these games are important. It looks like he's not going to be ready for when the bell rings on March 26th. And you just hope for Judge's case that he can be back, say, April 15th. That would be terrific. The Yankees are signed up for that right now. So
absolutely.
They're going to give it 2 weeks and reevaluate the CT scan, see where things are in the healing process. But I would think it's pretty unlikely that they're going to do that surgery, although the way things have gone the last year or so with the Yankees, I think you almost want to bet on the unlikely outcome.
Absolutely. And, you know, they gave that timeline again of 2 weeks. I mean, there's no way he's going to be back in 2 weeks. That's just going to be when he starts, if he's able to, start swinging a bat.
Yeah, that's to pick up a ball, start doing stuff, throwing a ball, hitting again. Yeah, and then he's got to have a whole spring training. And so even if Judge thinks he can be ready for big league games after 30 spring at-bats, which is what he said, you still got to go get him. And he can go get 6 or 7 a day if he has to, but then you also want to make sure you're kind of being careful with how much you're using this, considering he's coming off an injury. So, in theory, he could be ready in, say, a week. You could go get those 30 at-bats and get out there, but that would be pretty accelerated for my taste, and I think they're going to kind of want to slow play that a little bit, especially considering how hard it's been to get him on the field to do anything this spring so far.
Right. I just want him healthy, 110% healthy by October. Again, I'm going to keep stressing that. We need him for October.
All right.
So you also mentioned Miguel Andujar, and he's been playing left field, and he's looked pretty good out there. Do you think this is something that may actually happen in games? I mean, with the injuries, it seems like it's going to.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a good thing that the Yankees worked on this to increase Andujar's versatility. Credit to him for taking on the challenge and being so open-minded about it, because it is going to cement his spot on the roster and give Aaron Boone a lot of options to work him into games. I mean, they're still going to give him some reps to third base, and I think they're pretty much done with the experiment at first base. They didn't like what they saw with that,
but
left field, it looks pretty natural, and I think he's a good enough athlete where he can take that on. And the important thing is that his bat looks like it's back to where it was in 2018 when he was the runner-up to Shohei Ohtani for the Rookie of the Year. You're seeing that same kind of helicopter force in the bat, and I think that his bat's going to carry him, and you're going to look for a spot to put him with the glove. And the way that the Yankees' outfield looks right now, those reps are going to be there for him. So I think Andujar, to me, is a lock to be on the opening day roster, and I think Aaron Boone is going to want to find ways to get that bat in the lineup, and left field is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I'm scared to say it, but he looks comfortable out there. He really does.
Yeah, he's worked very hard on it. And, you know, the first ball that was hit to him in a spring training game, he had to charge in and call off Gleyber Torres and take it himself. And so he's kind of been thrown into the fire feet first here, and he's done a good job with it. I remember seeing him in the early days of camp when the Yankees were across the street at the minor league complex, and it wasn't quite that smooth. So clearly there has been a lot of work going on behind the scenes. He's been very focused on it. You know, like I said earlier, credit to him, because when Boone went down to the Dominican Republic and kind of floated this idea to him, Andujar said, yeah, I've already got an outfielder's glove. I was already doing that on my own. And so I think he really has embraced this opportunity. He knows that third base is Gio Urshela to lose, and there's not much short of an injury that's going to dislodge Urshela at this point. So if Andrew wants to be with the Yankees rather than in AAA Scranton, the way to do that is to take this on, and he's done a good job of it.
Now, you grew up in New York. Did you grow up a Yankee fan or a Met fan?
And that is the weird story.
I don't know if you have time for it.
I'll give you the short version. I started out as a Yankee fan. Like, I had a poster of Don Mattingly on my wall. Like, Donnie Baseball was the man. And then the strike came in 94, and I was 12 years old, and it broke my heart. And I didn't watch baseball for probably a year and a half after that. I was watching the 94 Rangers and all that, and then just kind of lost interest in baseball. And in spring of 96, I started to get interested again. And my dad was a Mets fan, and my grandfather was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan who became a Mets fan. So they stuck me in with the hype about, hey, you know, the Mets have got these young pitchers, Jason Isringhausen, Bill Pulsifer, Paul Wilson. Like, they're going to be the big three. And so I got interested in the Mets watching them then. And as a 14-year-old high school student who was a Mets fan for the Yankees in 1996, 1998, 1999, 2000, that was hard. But now that I'm on the professional side of this, I mean, much the same as you do, my world revolves around the Yankees. And so I honestly, people ask me, do you root for the Mets? And I don't. I don't even watch the Mets, to be honest, except when they're playing the Yankees. So that was a chapter of my life that it was fun. But once you start doing this job professionally, you can't really still bring out the pom-poms and wear the jerseys and all that. So yeah, I've had to leave that behind, and I don't regret it one bit.
What's it like covering the Yankees every day? It's like a dream job for me. I can't imagine what it's like.
A lot of days it's like drinking from a fire hose. You know, you never have to wait too long for the next story to come and hit you, because there is always something going on with this team. And what I say a lot about that is that it's the greatest thing in the world, because there is such interest in this team. I mean, they've got such a rich history. I love baseball history, and the fact that you can connect what's happening in the modern day to what happened with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra. I mean, the fact that I got to know Yogi a little bit was awesome. The fact that he was around here in spring training, this was his time of year. The way they connect with the legends and have these guys coming around, the Reggie Jacksons, the Ron Guidrys, now the Tino Martinez's and the Willie Randolphs, and DC Sabathia and Nick Swisher, too. And that's part of Yankee history, too. And those guys are down here as guest instructors now, too. I think that's part of the coolest part and the appeal of this. But I think mostly it's, you know, whatever you write, there's going to be massive interest in it. And it means so much to people. And I think that's really cool. Just the fact that I'm in Clearwater right now, where the Yankees are playing a game against the Phillies in a few minutes. And the stands are filled with Yankee fans. I mean, everybody, you know, you love them or you hate them, but you're never indifferent. And so you care about the Yankees. And I think that's really what's cool about it. And, it's challenging every single day. I'm challenged to kind of keep up to the interest level of this team, because it is massive and it is overwhelming sometimes, but it's great too.
That's great stuff. All right. Well, one more quick question for you. I know you got to run because you got to cover the game. When you go down to spring training, you bring your family with you, your wife and kids. Are they still with you right now?
Oh, they're here. They're here wire to wire. I mean, I'm lucky that my kids are 3 and 1, so school isn't a consideration right now.
Right.
They're loving it. We've got a little apartment here, and they're they're loving being in the pool, and they've been to Disney World a couple times, so they're having a dream spring training. And I don't know what we're going to do when they get a little older, but right now we are taking advantage of it. And that makes it a lot easier for me, because it's kind of like, you know, when I'm done at the end of the day, I go home. And it's not you're staying in a hotel room by yourself for 7 weeks. I think that would be pretty tough.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Home is Tampa right now, and up until March 26th, when home will be Baltimore. So we actually got our car here. We're going to drive up to Baltimore. We'll be there for opening day. And then I'm going to have to fly back to Tampa. That schedule is weird, so I'm going to be solo for that. But we try and incorporate as much as possible. And the kids my three-year-old's starting to get into baseball. I ask her who her favorite player is, and she says Aaron Judge. So
nice.
It's pretty cool. It's cool that she's getting into it and recognizing it and interested in what Daddy does for a living.
Very cool. Now, when you drive up to Baltimore, make sure you fill up that gas tank, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I will. For people who don't know, yeah, I was driving. It said I had 50 miles left, but 50, I guess, was zero. And so I sputtered to a stop on the side of the road. I don't recommend it, so. Lesson learned, when the gas light comes on, fill it up.
How embarrassing was that when the mechanic came out and told you that?
Yes, but even more embarrassing when I got back to the clubhouse and it really spread like wildfire. Guys were laughing about me.
Oh, man,
Brett Gardner gave me a hard time about that one.
What a surprise Brett Gardner gave you a hard time about that. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Go to work right now and cover that game. We'll be watching it. And, paying attention to your social media. Instagram stories are excellent by Brian Hoke.
Thank
Make sure
you.
To go check him out. Great content and great stuff, Brian. Thanks again for your time.
You got it. Anytime. Thank you so much.
All right. Brian Hoke, folks, from MLB.com, a beat writer for the Yankees, and he's going to cover the Yanks right now. And we really appreciate it. So he gave me more time than he was supposed to there. So thank you again to Brian Hoke. It's Hoke, H-O-C-K. And go follow him on Twitter and Instagram. Good stuff. More Apples and Pinstripes coming right up. All right, back on Apples and Pinstripes, episode 12 coming to an end. Todd Emanuele and Mike Borkowski. Thanks again to Brian Hoke for taking the time. Right before going to cover a Yankee game this afternoon, he found a nice quiet place there in the stadium so he could talk to me, because he couldn't hear me when I first called. I had to call him back so he could find a quiet place. That was kind of funny, too. But he was very kind and gave us all that time and a lot of information. He really is, and I know you don't follow the Yankee stuff as much, but his social media is spectacular because he's on the field. And like his Instagram story, if you're a Yankee fan, you have to follow him just for that, because he's there for batting practice right up next to the cage. He's, you know, talking to the players, giving stories that he just heard from players, breaking news. He's one of those guys that breaks the news all the time about stuff going on in Yankee world. And I really appreciate him coming on with us. And Mike, I'm sure you did, too. Right,
I did. Yeah. I actually do. I mean, that's great that he came.
It was really cool. He's a really nice guy, and you should all go follow him and support him and listen to his stuff, because he's got the inside scoop. Well, he is an MLB insider, and he's got the inside scoop. We didn't get any breaking news from him, but we did hear about Gary Sanchez now being held out until Friday. Just add him to the list of the injuries. But I think it's good to hear he said they're just being more precautious than anything, because it's spring training. And why bother pushing him? They need these guys to be healthy for the season. So I'm glad that they're not pushing him and he can get back, you know, by the end of the week. They didn't want him to travel across the state, I guess, is what it came down to, because they're playing on the road. So no point in rushing back.
Yeah.
And getting hurt. Make sure they're healthy for October is what I kept saying. Just be healthy for October. That's what we need you for, right? You got to get to the playoffs, too, though.
You got to get to October first.
they good, I think, not to. Although the Rays may have something to say about that. Anyway, thanks again to Brian Hoke. That was a lot of fun. And hopefully, you know, we can probably get him on again. If something big happens, I'm sure he'll take a couple minutes to chat with me if he remembers us. Oh, yeah, I remember you. But very cool. That was very cool for me today to be able to chat with him. Anything else before we go?
You still got that hat on.
Why would I take it off?
You have no reason. Nothing else?
No. Well, you were talking about like the Yankees injuries and everything, and I just saw an article this morning where, and it made me mad because I think it was like one of the New York papers, and they were talking about how, because the Mets played the Astros yesterday in spring training, and how difficult spring training's been for the Astros this year, and the Mets are just having a fabulous spring training and everything's going great.
That's not a good thing.
And I'm just thinking, thanks a lot.
That was a jinx.
Get right ready. That's they like always the free say, throw drinks on free throw jinx on basketball games. Yeah, this guy hasn't missed a free throw in 7 years. Clank.
Yeah, every time without fail. Oh man. But yeah, you don't want to do that. They always say you want to shoot to finish around 500 in spring training. I don't know why they always say that, but
I think the results, they really don't matter. Do not matter. Everyone's just getting their work in, and you know, and like people were freaking out the other day because Betances made his first appearance for the Mets.
Oh, he did.
He walked. He did.
How did I miss that? I thought he was supposed to be hurt.
I think it was Saturday. He made his first appearance.
So he's able to pick.
Yeah, he's looking at opening day for you know being ready to go.
He's gonna miss half here.
No, he walked a couple guys and gave up a single, and I think he struck a guy out. And everyone's like, "Oh my god!"
It means nothing. He's just trying to get comfortable out there.
Time pitching basically in 2 years,
right,
against competition. Like,
yeah, he faced two batters last year, and he missed the whole year the year before, pretty much. So,
gotta relax.
He said, like when Gerrit Cole gave up the 4 home runs against the Tigers. You know, he said after the game he had a fever or whatever. I don't even think that had anything to do with it. He was working. He said he was working on pitch sequencing. And he was just putting the ball over the plate. He was working on throwing different pitches in different counts, whatever. He said if that was an actual game, I would have pitched those guys completely different. So the result wasn't – he didn't care what happened. He was just trying to work on the sequence of the pitches. And I think a lot of guys are doing that. They're up there batting – some guys you'll see, I know I was watching the Yankee Red Sox game last, whatever, Friday, and Andrew Benintendi was it Benintendi? Yeah, Benintendi was up to bat. And he took his first two at bats, he took every pitch he just took. You could see he was just tracking pitches and watching where and he struck out looking both times, and people are booing or whatever, groaning, but like he's obviously sitting there just tracking pitches.
Right.
And that's just something they do. They're working on their craft. They're not looking for any results or wins or anything in spring.
That Gerrit Cole game, from what I heard, the wind was also blowing out at like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was.
So you had everything that went there went out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen much this year. I guarantee you. He is too much of a perfectionist. And again, he was working on certain things and not caring about the results. Nobody does in spring. So
yeah. Although the other thing I saw, the Mets, the New York Mets tweeted or put on their social media, they had a graphic of Jeff McNeil and saying how he's hitting like 560 in spring. Yeah, it's great. Like, okay, that's cool, but
tell him that he'll spring, be like, guys. Yeah, so the start the guys know they have spots are not playing for anything other than getting in shape for the season. The guys that are young, they're trying to prove something. That's a different story.
Yeah, they're trying to make the team.
Right, they're trying to make the team. And it's funny how people care about what happens in spring. And you want to see your team win, obviously, but they don't. They don't care. Why should we care?
I mean, games end in ties in spring training. That should tell you all you need to know.
Yep.
You want to play 10? No. Oh. Goodbye.
Yep. Remember what happened, though, when the All-Star game finished in a tie? They changed the rules after that. Now they've been changed back. People had an outcry about that. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 12. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back probably next week with the next episode of Apples and Pinstripes. Bye.
Bye.
Todd likes the Yankees, and Mike likes the Mets. Todd's life has been championships, and Mike's has been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring training to